When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market. He is Ramon, back in Hendersonville, Tennessee, after a week in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports in downtown. And Moan, Senior Bowl practices are actually a bigger deal than the Senior Bowl game, aren't they? It's weird.
They are, man. One, I'll say this. I have a newfound respect for people that have the Big J journalist next to their name. Like you.
Here we go.
You hear me, DK?
Here we go.
I get the grind, the hustle, the travel, the tiredness of it all. Man, diet just broke in half, okay? Just done shatter. I didn't eat the first day I was down until dinner. Do you understand me?
Oh, like, I understand you.
Coffee, a little bit of water, and then dinner, like, and late.
And then more coffee to get the content out.
Yes. Yes, man. I got baked in the sun the first day down there. I was just like, why am I so tired? Well, it's because you are almost a raisin, okay? But it was so cool, man. Got an opportunity to see some of my old friends there, meaning the Steelers, a bunch of guys that I saw that played ball to. I saw the legendary Cincinnati Bengals tackle, Willie Anderson. Mm-hmm. Met him, a few Hall of Famers. Just good camaraderie. But the game itself, the practices, that's what the week is all about, DK. It was fun to watch it. It was super cool talking to some of the prospects down there, getting an understanding of, you know, one, how nervous they all are. They look like little sheep in the pen, just being herded around by, you know, the guard dog. Like, they're looking like, what's next? But you should have saw the amount of scouts, personnel, teams, representation there. And this practice, that the practices that I saw were more business-like, from the idea of what they're looking for and how they're trying to, you know, evaluate these players, man. There's a lot of detail that goes into it. A lot of eyes, DK, like not just fan eyes, but important eyes on the prospect that are out there. Like, these are all the potential draft picks.
And they're going through, for people who've never seen or heard or read about this, they're going through intensive drills. These aren't Saturday walkthroughs. Okay.
No.
They're trying to beat the man across from them. In most cases, we're talking honestly, the sexy stuff at these kind of events tends to be the line play.
Oh yeah. And we ended up talking to Jim Nagy today too. He's the executive over the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he says he used to be a former scout, and he overtook this game and the management of it. One thing he did emphasize, one is the big guys. This is the biggest, you know, working resume builder that they're going to have is at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
But him being a former scout, he also told not just the bigs but the small guys, hey, look, we're going to work special teams. Because not everybody that got invited here is going to be a position player.
Right.
You know, so they worked on that. They worked on, like the special team drills and stuff like that. And he was telling them, a unique story he told me was the fact that the pandemic year, when everything shut down, he was like, the only game that really was played was the Senior Bowl.
I remember this. Yeah.
He tell those guys, look, you had scouts and teams calling them to get GPS speeds from special team stuff that they did. So the emphasis on going 100 miles per hour on special teams, they may call him, or they do call him asking, hey, how fast did he run in drills? He was like, they don't know when you ran it. It's the idea that you ran 22 miles per hour that they're That's looking all
they,
at.
They don't care where you were going. They yeah. don't care if you ran right past the guy you were supposed to tackle. They care how fast you got there.
What did that number say? Because they build off that type of potential practice stuff, man. But by and large, DK, there was two groups that when they work, the bees swarmed, and that was the O-line versus D-line 101s.
Well, now, isn't that a pleasant coincidence considering where the local team just might have some needs?
By and large, I'm talking about there was wide receivers and DBs on the other end running routes, backs on backers around the 50-yard line, but at the 10-yard end in the end zone, O-line versus D-line runs and pass protecting attracted the most eyes out of all, which told me, again, it is a big man sport, DK, and there's a value put on it, too. Just some of the guys that popped off to me, man, on the national side. On the defensive line, man, Nesta J. Severa out of Arizona State. Not a super tall guy, man. He's 6'1", 307. Reminds you, I don't even want to label like Aaron Donald's stature, but he's like Aaron Donald's stature.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Undersized D-line that really got a whole lot of penetration against the interior guys.
And AD was always going to be one of those types of players who would lead to other types like him. Does that make sense?
And
when the old conventional Casey Hampton type nose tackle went out, AD comes in and says, listen, I'm built like this and I'm not going to look like what, but guess what? I'm getting back there. I'm getting to the backfield. Javon Hargrave.
Yeah.
Was, I mean, you know, if you got him in the right mood, he'd tell you that's what he wanted to be.
100%. Okay. And to your point, though, like the size and measurements of them all, that's what they're tracking. But like the play of those guys at that size is what's most attractive, because everybody in this copycat league of the NFL is saying, well, I want one of those too.
Can I have a 99, please?
Please give me a 99. He was good, man, on the national side. Again, there's a defensive end, okay, out of Georgia Tech, Keon White. I just kept saying, who's number six? Who's number six? I have my play sheet. He was fast off the edge, bended really well. Coming out of Georgia Tech, tell you he's a smart guy, super aggressive, and just flashed, man. So it was good to see him do work. He was a defensive end, though. His size, according to their sheet, said he's 6'4", almost 6'5", and 280. So this is a big, thick kid,
big dude,
man.
Yeah.
But could move and had long arms, and it was really good to kind of see him do work like that.
Give me a couple offensive line.
Oh,
guys.
I can't wait to get to the offensive line. I know you knew that. All right,
I knew it. But I'm also looking at the clock here.
McClendon Curtis out of UT Chat, offensive lineman, 6'5", 330-ish, plays guard, will play some center too. Another kid, man, center out of Michigan. Ola Watimi out of Michigan, really good cat. Jalen Duncan, very athletic tackle out of Maryland, flashed pretty good, needed a whole lot of work, they say. It's just need consistency. DeJuan Jones, the big tackle out of Ohio State.
We don't need to be talking about him.
We
don't need to be talking about him and getting anybody's hopes up. He's not last until 17.
No, he's not. We're good on that one, man. But across that, man, from that point right there, other offensive linemen, Tyler Steen out of Alabama, Osiris Torrance, the big guard out of Florida, Darnell Wright, I know, has got a lot of people interest out of Tennessee. John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota, really good. And also Steve Avila, TCU guard, flashed really well this weekend.
I love how you cruised right through the Tennessee guy as if it wasn't somebody that you had all kinds of, like, I've only seen
me talk about him more?
Every single game he's ever played.
Let me tell you more about him, man, in this next segment.
Yeah, when we come back. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Wrapping up Senior Bowl week, Ramon was down in Mobile, Alabama, working that. And here we are, Ramon, talking about Darnell Wright, as I knew we would end up doing when we started this show. He is a tackle at Tennessee. He is seen potentially as maybe being a guard type in the NFL, but, you know, everyone lists him everywhere at tackle, and everybody wants to stay at tackle.
Yeah, you know, they do.
That's just the culture. Tell me a little bit about him, because he's right in that
sweet spot,
that Steelers range there, you know?
He is, and you reminded me earlier, we do have two first-round picks.
Yes. Yeah, 17 and 32. And, of course, 49 isn't that far behind that.
No.
So three picks in the top 50, that's –
Yeah, that's major, man. Looking at him, he could be right tackle or a guard too. And that's the thing too. And I'll say this, most times when you bring up guard to a tackle, to a guy that's only been a tackle his entire life.
Yeah, right.
They look at you side eye. I did the exact same thing, but it's a matter of what were you going to actually be your strongest at? I think if when you take a college tackle and you bring his athletic ability to the inside, if mm-hmm. that guy is willing to change, you're going to get you're going to be able to maximize all of his strengths, because naturally at tackle, you know how to pass it. You just got to refine it a little bit more as far as setting tighter, not kicking out as much, and all of those little small, you know, technical things that you got to go through, DK. But Darnell Wright, man, former five-star prospect out of West Virginia.
Always a big deal. He was born a big deal.
He was. And I'll say this. I don't know how many five stars ever came out of West Virginia either. So it tells you how significant.
They have them.
They have them? Mm-hmm. We're going to have to start looking that one up. Now I got to hit the research department at DK Pittsburgh Sports, okay? But from there, though, man, he's a guy that's a big athlete. He moves well. He's aggressive as ever. I watched him in the run game, man. He rolled his hips naturally. It wasn't a force type of thing. Can he, you know, keep his head up a little bit more? Yes, those are small item things, man, when you're looking at what the actual product is.
It's coaching.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's coaching. Yeah. And what did we hear Coach T say one time? Don't talk to me about what a guy won't do when it's just simply coaching. That's what we're paid to do, is to coach guys up. And I think that would be something that's right up his wheelhouse when it comes down to it. Super prideful, too. I ended up interviewing his college quarterback, Hendon Hooker. He was down there rehabbing his torn ACL, and he got the invite, too. And he said he got a little ticked off at him. Darnell did, because he ran out of bounds one time on his side, and I think he created a sack. He hadn't given up a sack in over 20 games, if not longer.
And it was charged to him.
They didn't charge him for it, but he got instantly mad at him, because he's like, dude, what are you doing? Don't
my
do
slate's
this.
Clean. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, keep my slate clean. He said, he told him, we already don't get stats, and you're going to give me the one bad one we actually get.
And you know what's funny? At an event like the one that you were at, the details, the anecdotes, the stories, the conversations that happen. Moan, the stuff that these scouts look for isn't what people think they're looking for. They think that they're looking at a certain play, and then they're grading the play. That's the stuff that people like me are doing.
Yes.
Okay? What are the scouts actually looking for?
This is what they're looking for. I ended up having a conversation with one, because I was on the sideline just, you know, I'm going to talk to a wall if it's there, okay, when I'm in my mode, and that was a football mode to be in. I see you with a pen in the paper and you writing stuff. And I was like, hey, what are you looking at? Who are you studying? He was like, I'm looking at the cornerbacks, the safety, and, you know, the secondary. I was like, so what do you look at? I know you got the entire field, but what specifically can you see down here? Oh, he was like, man, by the time I get here, I've already looked at the film. I've already seen what I think may or may not be true. He's like, when I'm down here and I get to see these guys do this type of work, I'm looking to see how true or not true it is. If I think a guy has tight hips, I need to see if he has tight hips at cornerback. If I think he has fast footwork, I need to see that in person too. If this guy breaks on the ball well, I need to see him. They're looking at the technical side of what they saw on film already, the scouting aspect of it. The scouts don't just sit around all day. Like, they literally have a breakdown of almost every player at that position, good, great, bad, and different. They have all of that. And
that's why verification.
They are seeking verification. Does this tackle roll his hips when he come off? How good is the center when he snaps it? Does he have an issue snapping the ball back? The quarterbacks, where is his arm slot at when he actually throws it, when I see him in person? They're confirming or denying all things that they saw in their scouting. That's why, DK, those practices are so good, and why they're so populated by personnel, NFL personnel. I don't think many go to the game at all.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
they go for the practices. And let me tell you, like, the stands is just lined with NFL personnel on their side of the stands, man. And they are in tune to everything that they're looking for as far as the young prospects out there.
You know, and it's character stuff, too. You know, whenever the Steelers drafted Alex Highsmith, they told the story, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin both did, about being so impressed with something that Highsmith had shown them.
Yeah.
In Charlotte's pro day. Mm-hmm. And where it was something that he had done in a special teams drill, and the way he reacted to it. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, a lot of times you can almost hear, if I can do a Kevin Colbert imitation, I'm not going to do it for you. But he'll say, when you watch these guys sometimes and they're not all that into it, or they feel like the special teams. And he showed us something, and you could see Tomlin sitting to Colbert's right, just going,
oh, yeah,
like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that one little thing told them, listen, you know, you don't put a third round pick on a guy that's going to be, you think, is a special teams guy, but you want him to have that attitude, that approach, and that told them just that one. And they embrace, they eat up every little morsel that they can.
They really do, because you got to think their jobs are contingent on this type of stuff too. Sure. So they got to be right to see that. And that was one of the things that they said was probably the most advantageous for like the trenches, the O-line and D-line. They usually go back-to-back, usually two at a time. I saw a player in particular, offensive lineman, get put on his back a little bit, probably nervous. I can admit that. That happens, probably a little nervous. And he got, gets up, drops his head real quick. And I'm like, you better go back. You got to go back to the line of scrimmage. You got to ask for one more. And he does. Goes back to the line of scrimmage, and he was a whole lot better that time around. Like, that's what they're looking to see. Because on film, DK, mm-hmm. all listeners, like, they get just the rep. They don't get the emotions in between telling this guy, I'm waving my hand if you're listening to the pod, hey, run that back. Come here. You don't leave yet. You know, and just the intensity. You're not done because I'm not done. That's what they get an opportunity to see. And yes, it's the little theatrics of it. And just also the other side of it is the small school guys. Like, there's a guard coming out of North Dakota State that people are pretty high off of. He played tackle in college. But he's also, this weekend, he practiced at guard and center. Cody Mock is his name.
From North Dakota State. North Dakota. Yeah.
Missing his two front teeth.
Red-haired dude, long hair. Yeah, he looks like he's quite the character.
And you know what, too? I misjudged him on the first day. I prejudged him on the first day of practice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he played tackle. His first reps were at guard.
Okay.
So he turned his butt into the hole a little bit more because tackles work more on angles. Guards work more lateral than up first. On the run blocking, he turned, dropped his outside left foot back, and then he moved forward and he got pushed back.
Oh, sure.
Somebody told him in the back, hey, no, we need you more square. You see what I'm saying? Like, those are the differences.
Which is so unfair to the kid, but yeah.
But you know what it also showed?
Hmm.
He had a willingness to do something more than what was asked of him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he also grabbed that ball and started snapping too, let a team know that, look, I'm going to find a spot on the field somewhere.
Yeah, that's he was actually one of the guys that was supposed to be going into the Senior Bowl, one of the ones to watch heading in. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
I say moan.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show and the only segment that matters. It's brought to you by our friends at the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where three expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, and app is crafted for what they refer to as craveability. Order your favorite entry at the Get-Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. Moan! I'm punting here today. That's what I'm doing. I'm 15 yards back. I got a question for my Daily Shot show that came from KP, and I told him I got somebody who can handle this one infinitely better than I can.
Okay.
So here it comes. This is his adjusted. He actually resent it.
Nice.
And he says, with so many capital letters and exclamation points, Hey, Moan! What does Chooks Okorafor need to work on to master his craft? What are his strengths and what are his shortcomings? And can he be that elite all-pro caliber guy with some solid coaching from Pat Meyer?
Oh, man.
Elite. I'm holding elite. You to that word in this answer.
Eliteness for
because
him.
That's where I lost out here because for me to try to get technical on this, I can't do that. You can't. Yeah. But what is it that Chooks needs? Because I know you've liked Chooks' game.
I have.
Yep. Okay. First, what have you liked? And then second, what's the next thing?
Don't just say consistency.
No.
Everybody does that. We'll already log that one in. That is above board. Put that in the tape deck and play that all day. Consistency on repeat, okay? Okay. What he needs is more pizzazz in his finish, specifically in the run game. More nastiness in his finish, specifically in the run game. I think his pass game is as solid as it's going to get, especially since rushers do rush off the right tackle side. Now, if he added a bit more finish and nastiness in his run, especially on those solo blocks front side, you're going to take him to a different level. I think what he does on a play-to-play basis, you don't notice because it's simply him doing his job. Why do we notice Trent Williams? Huh? It's because he's nasty as heck in the run game, right? Mm-hmm. That's why when the other right tackle that I can think of off top that made all pro, Jack Conklin, was a big old monster when it came down to him finishing folks in the run game. Like, maybe not directly putting them on their back, but they couldn't sniff a play whatsoever. And I think that's the one component of his game that's going to make him elite.
But he does that on occasion, and he has the personality to do it. So this isn't like one of those, just so I can clarify this for people, not to put words in your mouth, but I know this much about Chooks. He's not lacking competitive fire.
No, he's not lacking that.
Yeah, he and I have seen him, and I almost get the sense, and this is, again, coming from the layman's perspective, I almost get the sense at times with Chooks that he's so freakishly strong.
And athletic.
That his beginning move, he sees it as being definitive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in other words, I did this, and that's plenty.
Yeah.
And sometimes it isn't. Sometimes the play takes longer to develop.
It does, and to finish it. Like, if he flashed on film for the theatrics of taking a guy to the sideline, and we all, like, I think he has that capability.
He
has that athletic just gene in him to do it. But I'll say this too, DK. Like, look at good versus great, right? Good is like you said, bam, I'm getting it done. And some people, good is about as great as they can get because they're limited either athletically, physically, whatever the case may be. I think his level of athletic ability, he can actually push that over to the top, like the cliff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the reason we're all talking about him because he is – look, I don't mean to take anything away from the rest of the guys. He was not the best offensive lineman the Steelers had this year. I think we can agree that between Mason Cole and James Daniels, the two newcomers – you know, showed really, really well, probably especially Cole. But what you're talking about is the next gear and the next level. And that's not some discussion you would necessarily have about Cole or Daniels, and you would about Chooks because he's just a freak.
It comes easy to him. And that may be the next phase in his career, is to actually push through that, like, be a bully and be proud of being it. Like, that's what got us noticing Terrell Suggs, just to take it to another side, right?
Why
do we notice Aaron Donald? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we notice Jalen Ramsey? You know what I'm saying? Like, these is dudes. Zach Martin was one of those guys. Why do we notice him? Because you see that nasty finish. When Quinn Nelson was really killing it, we saw those edgy / dirty plays, if we can be real about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that also carries respect. That also means you're going to get everybody's best, so you got to make sure you're bringing your best also.
Yeah.
Like, it creates a bullseye on you. But it's a level of good to great that I think having maybe an older guy around to explain that to him would actually do it. Because now he's the OG in a sense, right? Like, he's the elder guy in the room, right? When we're talking about what their ages are.
yes. Ages, yes.
Yes.
NFL maturity.
No.
That's still, I'm telling you, Moan, that's still just a dead heat.
Yeah. Okay.
It just is.
But like, think about Pounce. What did you notice about him? He highlighted his attributes in space. Like, that's how you get put on NFL films.
Mm-hmm.
His knack for nastiness, right?
Like, yeah. Everybody can admit that. What was he doing way over there was the first question you'd ask about him.
You feel me? Like, another one was DeCastro. Like, what the hell, Dave? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Dave, athletic enough to go do that, and you see those finishes. Like, maybe that's crafting offensive plays to put him in space like that because that's what San Francisco does for Trent. And I just continually name him because I think that's the apex of offensive tackles in the league right now. There may be another young stud out there, but everybody's chasing that dude as far as physicality, tenaciousness, just tenacity, just all of those things that take a guy to that elite level.
You mentioned Dave and his athleticism. I go immediately to San Diego, and you know the play I'm thinking of.
Seriously,
yeah,
just crawling around people, right?
He went flying over there to his left, and the combined effort between him and Le'Veon Bell to get into that end zone against the Chargers. And no, I'm not misspeaking, by the way. If you're new to the NFL, this was actually in San Diego.
It was.
And it was unforgettable to see an offensive lineman play a starring role like that in a dramatic victory.
Think about the dancing bear that he was, and what did it actually highlight? Man, this MF-er is a dancing bear. Like, you know what I'm saying? Think about the elites. Why did Troy become elite, right? Like, Troy could have been a pedestrian. But what did Troy do?
He did anything he wanted to, and he did it better than everybody else.
Thank you. And that's what it takes to be elite. What was it, KP?
KP, this is why you did what you did. I see you out there, though. You pulled it off. You could have gotten some lame-o answer from me, and instead you got all this, the dancing bears and everything. Moan, have a good weekend. We will do this again on Monday, and it's going to be Super Bowl week, you know?
This is big, man. Mm-hmm. We'll do picks. We'll do all that type of stuff.
All that stuff. It's going to be a fun week here.
Mm-hmm.